One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Your regular program will be with you very, very shortly. But first, a quick announcement from me, Chris Pajak of the Red Ben TV. I want you to sign up to Red Ben Plus. You get more podcasts in your ears every single f***ing day, man. It's incredible. Just go and do it. RedmenPlus.com. Loads of benefits. Discord servers, merchandise, discount codes. We've got it all for you. Right to your programming.
Hey everyone, Red Men Podcast, and the three of us are back together.
Been a while.
The room. It has been a little while. Steve's been on his mid-season break, ahead of the mid-season break.
Bit of warm weather training for the last two games that we've got to play before we stop again.
What were you training for?
Pieting contest, apparently. How much steak can you possibly consume contest? If there's one of them in December, I'm primed. I'm ready to go. I've had a good pre-season, if I'm in one of them.
Yeah, Steve, Chris Pajak and Paul Machen here for Liverpool-related podcasty goodness. We're going to be talking Leeds, Napoli and beyond. There's three games now until the mid-season break. And I want to know how people are feeling about that, because, like, probably yesterday walking into the office, everyone was like, oh God. And then today, Liverpool have subsequently won a game of football, and whether that changes things, we'll get into all that. If you are watching or listening live on YouTube, then you can use the live show chat to interact. If you're over on Twitter, you can come and join us as well for that. And after the fact, just remember, we love you just as much. Although that's a lie, it's less. Kickoff question. Ashley Frith, one of our Club Legend subscribers, asks, with the disgraceful Matt Hancock going into I'm a Celeb, which of our current players do you think would do best and worst?
I need context. I found out the other day, loads of people in different countries don't know what I'm a Celebrity is.
Yeah, we saw it in the Club Legend. Actually, someone needed that explaining to them what it was all about. And okay, so just for context of what I'm a Celebrity is that a number of pseudo-celebs go into a jungle, and they have to basically do games for food rations and what have you. The public vote to put them in a variety of these things, and they range from having, like, insects on your face to
eating kangaroo
penises to drinking horrendous stuff to being locked in small enclosed areas with creepy crawlies and all that kind of stuff. And at times, it is the greatest television known to man, and other times, it's a bit crap. So yeah, that's it. And yeah, Matt Hancock, who is also obviously disgraced MP and current man trying to push a book, and the man mainly responsible for so many people dying due to COVID-19 in this country, is going in there. But we'll talk about that on Podcast Extra, because got to keep politics out the podcast, Chris. Got to keep politics out of the podcast.
I've got words about that.
I've got many, many words, and largely
about Matt Hancock.
Yeah.
Why do we have to save it for Extra? Why can't we do it now?
Got to keep politics out of the podcast. The prick. The Tory prick.
Make them pay for the good stuff.
Yeah. Come join us on that. We'll be going live immediately after this over on redmanplus.com. So, yeah. Anyway, who were the current Liverpool players do you think would do best and worst?
I remember Virgil had that interview. Remember, it was like one of the where the kids into, and he said, what are you scared of? And he went, I'm scared of nothing.
I've got a sneaky feeling.
I believed him, I think.
I see, when people say that.
He's scared of spiders.
I think he's scared
of spiders. Yeah. Virgil gets in the bath and sees the spiders. I don't know. I think Van Dijk would be the best, because he's got the attributes for everything, skill wise, massive, strong, quick. And calm as you like, as the song goes. And I think he's actually a brave fella. So you need someone who's cool under pressure in that environment.
Like, get creepy crawlies into that ponytail.
Don't be stupid. It's Darwin Nunes. Darwin Nunes gets in the box with the spiders and the spiders run away. Like, there's absolutely no way that anything's attacking Darwin Nunes. Darwin Nunes is in there. And you can imagine it. He's chaos on the football field. he'd be chaos in that as well. He'd pick up yellow cards when they're not a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what he's about. Like, he'll be there. He'll be doing other people's challenges for them because he steals goals off people. Why wouldn't he steal challenges off people?
Imagine the skills challenges, though. Like, it'd be like, throw a hoop over that kangaroo's knob or something. That's what they end up doing. Got one, missed. And he gets one from a yard. He gets one from like 20 yards, but misses the one from like 4 foot. It would be great television. And also, I suppose he would not. Like I said this today, the best thing about Darwin Nunez is that anything's a possibility with him. I'm going to score from the halfway line to I'm going to knock somebody out, and everything in between is on the table at any second with Darwin. So he might not do the best in terms of winning, but I think as entertainment, he would be box office.
He'd make the first couple of weeks fly, I think, having him. I like the idea of a double
just team. Knocks like Boy George out or something. Yeah,
a double team of Trent and Robbo going in, because again, I think Robbo would be good value, because I could see him like talking himself through stuff in challenges when he's got like a big bowl, a goldfish bowl full of crickets, and he's just going like, "Hey there, pal, how you doing? Oh, don't go up my nostril. What are you doing there?" You know what I mean? I think he'd be good value. I think he'd be tough. But if you could put Trent in there with him, I have a sneaky suspicion Trent's another one. He strikes me as the kind of lad who wouldn't deal very well with like untidiness and stuff. He's clearly got a bit of OCD about him, Trent. And I think like I could see Robbo just ripping him for weeks.
What, Milner? Milner would also,
it'd be too easy for Milner, wouldn't it? He wouldn't even get a motion. He'd just battle through and do it. And everyone would be like, "Hey, well, yeah, Brad, thanks so much for bringing all the food to camp. Terrible tally that.
Got it. Oh, God. Crocodile dick again. Okay. Just...
Children starving in Africa. All right, James. Yeah, Christ. No, I think he would. I think he'd be very good. But in terms of what you want to be good, you want people who freak out a little
James,
bit.
James, it might be you.
Fine. No problem at all.
Who'd do worst?
Who would do worst? At the moment, Fabinho.
He's got to do anything right.
Because like at the start of the season, I'd be like, Fabinho would absolutely nail this because he's strong and he's tall and he's quick and he's powerful. And he'd just be like, he'd be going to reach for things and he'd be missing them. And he'd be like falling off ravines and all kinds of shit. He's the kind of lad at the moment this season where he'd jump out the plane and his parachute wouldn't open because that's just how his season's going so far. So it probably would be him. But yeah. Any other suggestions?
Pep Linders. Only because it's very Matt Hancock. It's like, obviously he's released the book Intensity and stuff like that, and then he goes in there and shows that he's got absolutely none.
A lot of scrutiny on how hard Pep would be working in that situation. Yeah, I'd be keen to see that. I mean, ultimately, Jürgen Klopp would be the greatest get I'm a celebrity's ever had of all time, but there's no way he'd ever do that, surely. Surely not.
No, you say that, never say never.
Depends
how skint he is in a few weeks' time, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, sad. In fact, L.I.M. here in the comments says it, Naby would be the worst.
It's break.
There's players who you'd kind of want to test. So I kind of like the way like Matt Hancock's going to end up getting voted for everything. He's going to be like the Gillian McKeith or whatever, where people loathe someone, so they want them to go through the ringer. I think it'd be a lot of Liverpool fans just testing him to see how he copes in that kind of environment. And knowing how that goes, he'd probably be boss. Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, oh. You know, you wait, you're hoping someone's going to be rubbish, but really they end up being really good. Yeah, I think it's an interesting shout anyway. I think Verge would be squeamish. I have a sneaky feeling that
like elephants are scared of mice. Like a big giant fella scared of like
just you know, because he's got the long hair thing. He did that thing with Gary Neville, didn't he? He said, like, oh, he lets the hair down. For that, you know, you'd be getting all sort of creepy crawlies in there and all that kind of stuff. And when he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's just got like a giant spider on his head, Virgil strikes me as the kind of, you know, the old Tom and Jerry cartoons where the maid would end up on the chair with pulling it back and see Virgil just someone being up a tree but running away from like a cricket or something. Yeah, sorry, Virg, you'd probably be sad.
Yeah, I disagree. I think he'd just pick up and launch it, and then James Milner would eat it.
Yeah.
And boring television.
Right, Sam, before we dive into it then, we're going to be talking, a little, very, very briefly about Leeds. We're going to talk about the glory of beating the best team in Europe, in Napoli, and then beyond. But we have a very short break because we've got some fabulous, fantastic, wonderful Christmas jumpers that are available to pre-order right now.
Hey, you wonderful podcast listener, get back to the show very, very shortly. Just want to give you a heads up about our merchandise store, redmenmerch.com. Go over there, check it out. Some amazing t-shirts, books, gifts, absolutely everything you need for the Liverpool fan in your life, or indeed just to treat yourself. So yeah, head on over to redmenmerch.com, check out the amazing products that we've got on offer. I'm sure you'll love them, and I'm sure you're going to love the rest of this show too.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Brilliant. We've just discovered that Joe's ability to count down from 10. Really lacking there.
He was only trying to do from 5 then, you know.
Yeah. I'll give him a bit more credit than was due.
You look nice in that jumper, by the way.
I know.
Bring up your eyes.
Redmenmerch.com. We're now... Spooky season is done. Obviously, we've got to get the fireworks on.
Someone should tell that to Liverpool. They're frightening performances.
That's a good tweet, that's the...
She said, I get numbers.
Like, yeah,
numbers.
Exactly. Your negative Liverpool tweet's like a horror movie villain coming back for one last scare.
Keep this to yourself. This is something where we disagree.
On... Okay.
You think I'm a prick, so basically...
No. I don't. I just think you are... No, I just...
Yeah, all right, Santa, yeah.
You're doing it less and less, though.
Yeah, I've got less time in my life. You're working me too hard. That's what it's... No...
He's literally just come back for 2 week holiday in the busiest period of
3 weeks
ever.
Wasn't he off for?
Nah, two and a bit.
Okay. We lost the Leeds.
We did.
Two and a big bit. Right. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Two big words.
Pro rata, like working days for 3 weeks. Yeah. Sad. Anyway, yeah, Liverpool lost the Leeds. It was shite. And it led
Why?
Us
Why are
to,
we talking about that? I don't want to talk about Leeds.
It led us to... being that general sort of belief, it reminded me a lot in the build-up, Chris, to the build-up to Man City, where there's a lot of fatalism around it in a different way, because I think people expected us to get like battered by City because we've been in shit form or whatever. And I saw a lot of like the whole like just play a bunch of children in this game and throw it away. There was 4 games left in the season, but mid-season, they obviously had to rotate, but I'm glad they approached it the way they approached it, because ultimately, and I'm sure James Milner might disagree if he's injured for any more than a couple of days or whatever, but we didn't get the result to get us top of the group. But I walked out of Anfield feeling really good about myself again. And once again, it's another example where we've gone up against one of the informed teams in Europe and proved that we can hold our own against them, which Man City already told us. But I just think this is going to be a season, it feels like, of having to remind ourselves we're not going to be that 95-point team, but we're also not quite as bad as the extrapolation would have us over the full season of being a...
Jürgen said it well in his press conference after the game. You know, he talked about, you know, I think he was asked a question, something along the lines of, do you doubt the quality of this side? And Jürgen's answer was, no, I don't doubt the quality of this side. The boys have got quality, the team has got quality. This isn't verbatim, by the way. This is the sentiment of what he was saying. It's the consistency that we've got a problem with right now. It's not the quality of the lads. And that there's loads of reasons for that. It is injuries. It's the amount of minutes for the lads who aren't injured. It's obviously everything else that we know all the reasons of. Liverpool have got quality. They've always had quality. They haven't dropped off a cliff in any way, shape or form, but they're not able to do it at a consistent level right now. That's the difficult thing that we've had. Man City played into our hands because they played us like Man City play Liverpool, toe-to-toe. Napoli played us toe-to-toe. And we're still good at that toe-to-toe. We have a problem when it's other sides who are sitting back and, you know, you lose an early goal because you're getting hit on the counter-attack, but you leave yourself open to the counter-attack. When sides don't play us like that, we've still got that. And you saw last night a confidence that's easily shattered, don't get me wrong, when you can see the first goal. But when we scored that first goal, the confidence through the side, the way that we were playing football was just Liverpool. Now, it helped that we went to 4-3-3. Yep. It helped that we had a defender in Konate who was able to move the ball forwards without us going across the back line 9 times before we found the pass. Like, we just got into the midfield. It helped that we had the high press again, yep, because we had a front three that were able to play the high press. And it helped that we had a midfield that understood the roles. All of that to say, Liverpool can still play the 4-3-3 this season as long as we've got the players to play the 4-3-3. And when we play the 4-3-3 and we've got the players to do it, we'll be just as good as we've ever been.
It was just like watching Liverpool again, you know, and we've had some wild bits and pieces, and I saw little glimpses of it in Ajax, but it's the recognisable patterns of play that returned. And the problem is with that is that it was that part of the problem that got us into the situation in the first instance. If we can recognise it, can opponents recognise it, and blah, blah, blah. But at this point, I just don't think we can afford to be too choosy. We've tried a few other things to try and jumpstart things and make things work. But we've had long, lengthy discussions over the last month or so about what you lose when you do change that, and the marginal gains that are baked into this side and this squad and the collective understanding go when you're changing it, because you gain the elements of surprise, but you lose the tried and tested and the methodical.
If you keep changing things, you are going to be inconsistent, because you're going to have different results. You know what I mean? Like, the diamond hasn't worked. I know we beat Ajax with it, but I don't think we played well. It got exposed a bit by Leeds, which you put all 4-2-3-1, look how it works sometimes, then other times it didn't. So I think Jürgen was changing the formation. He didn't want to have to use 4-2-3-1 and diamonds. Ideally, he wanted to be 4-3-3 the whole season and Liverpool be boss again. He had to try and change stuff again, injuries, form, loads of different things. It was, like I say, last night was more like us. I said it on the show, so I don't repeat myself too much. Like, we are this season the living embodiment of the Gattuso, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. Yeah. That's what we are. Yeah. And there is no rhyme or reason for that. I don't think between games, particularly, it shouldn't be as up and down. Usually when you're at a level and you hover around it, we're up here and down, like, on the floor at times. And that's what goes back to that consistency. Liverpool just need to find a level, because Liverpool being 7 out of 10 will win the majority of games because our quality will shine through. It's that when you've got the injuries and when things are going wrong and you're down here and you're up there, it's mad. Like, that's where we are. It's so strange for the Jürgen Klopp team, because the one thing I would say about us for the last few years is we have been consistent. Mm-hmm. We've either been 80% consistently good, but when we've been shit, we were actually consistently shit, because we kept losing every week in that COVID season. There was no ups and downs. It was all downs until it turned around again.
Until it was all ups.
Yeah. So to see us go on like the roller coaster, it's very unlike us. We are playing like a team who are in a top four. That's what top four battles teams do. You can Man United can win the derby against Man City, but then lose 4-0 to Brentford. You know, that's what they've been through. But
Diaz is the big thing that's changed all this, and why we've changed formation so many times. And again, Jürgen said this in his press conference after the game. He said basically, look, the 4-3-1-2 we played, and he alluded to this, and I'm reading in between the lines a little bit. But Darwin Núñez wasn't able to do the defensive side of a left of a three, mm-hmm. but he can do the offensive side of a left of a three, which we saw last night.
Yeah.
When we were pushing on and we were trying to win the game, he was doing it. Now, it's not because he doesn't try, because he does run. He yeah. runs back, he defends, he just doesn't understand the role.
Yeah.
And I think now that he's probably looking at it and, you know, going back to the original point, Diaz was on that left-hand side, you can do that. As soon as we lost Diaz, as soon as we lost Jota, you haven't got anyone who can do that. Kurt Jones had a great impression of that yeah. last night and grew into the game, and I'm shocked at the amount of abuse that he had online on stuff, because he just wasn't a bad player. But Núñez, if he can show us that he can do that left-hand side and put the and understand the defensive side of things, we will play the 4-3-3
yeah.
and we'll be better in the 4-3-3. But we need players back to be able to help us do that as well. And I think Luis Diaz is probably the player that allows us to play the 4-3-3 at the moment.
And also, one of the reasons he went to 4-2-3-1, and he said this as much, didn't he, was that, well, I had loads of attackers fit
yeah.
and I had no midfielders fit, so why wouldn't I just get all four of them? Because he was picking for them and he still had the quality lad on the bench. Everyone was back, so you know he had Jota, Diaz, Salah, Núñez, Bobby. He just picked four of them and had one on the bench along with Harvey Elliott or Carvalho, who can get involved. Yeah, now as the midfielders are starting to get back fit again, so pretty much all of them I think are available now. The centre mids.
I don't know about Hendo still.
Hendo was out with the precaution, but in general, no one's miles off it. They're all available.
Yeah, with the exception of Arthur, he was never.
It doesn't exist. He's a figment of our imagination. Other than that, he's got Chamberlain and Keita available now for the next three games. He's got everyone back, so it makes sense that, oh well, I've got my midfielders back, I might as well go back to it. Because yeah. what the I think the diamond exposed Fabinho's weaknesses even more, because he's having a bad season. And I wrote this on Twitter, and I know you don't always agree with me tweets. I said what we did to Fabinho was unfair. We put a lad who was desperate for help, he needed help, and we took the help away from him. We made him do more work. In that three yesterday, he wasn't great, but he had lads close to him who were helping him out. Like against Leeds, as soon as one fella skipped past him, there was no one left. Yesterday, if someone skipped past him, he had a bit more help.
The problem we've had, and the kind of Robbo highlighted it back in Napoli, and we've seen it, where the collectivism is what has been the strength of Liverpool. It's everyone working constantly, everyone pushing through the pain, and there's been one too many lads going, either I've done all this, do I really need to go, or going, God, this hurts. I don't think I've got this. And it's all well and good. I equate it to, like, you know, you end up with like loads of ciggies on a random area of the floor, because when you go to put a ciggy butt out, you look around, and the second you see another ciggy butt, you're like, close enough. It's like when you're looking for a bin and you go, that's why rubbish ends up next to a bin, because as soon as another human being has followed that path, and when
or bottles looking, on walls, or yeah, you see it loads.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and that's what Liverpool have kind of had in their mentality of like, well, he's not running, I'm not running. Well, it kind of absolves you, because you don't stick out like a sore thumb for your lack of effort. If there's one, two, or three more lads who are all like you, that spreads, and that gives you the get out of jail free card for not being the one who kind of sprints back.
But when you start to put the effort in as a team, everybody put the effort in as a team, and I think that's why I'm still, don't know the right word, I'm not negative on it, right? But being able to be up for City and being able to be up for Napoli is different to being able to be up for Leeds and Nottingham yes. Forest. And it's not until we can outrun them and outwork them yeah. that we're going to become consistent.
Now they have the ability to do it,
and they went back to basics. We won every second ball last night for the first time. Our goals were second ball goals. Like, that's just not been happening over
closing
the last week.
So
that's
down,
yeah. They were always close for a tackle. The high press helped. The midfield were there. We went 5 yards away with Fabinho on an island all by himself. But you've got to do that against the smaller sides, or the perceived smaller sides. That's how you become consistent. You have to do that against everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think, because again, a result of injuries, the summer where we probably didn't get the players and we wanted, blah, blah, blah. I think sometimes City, for example, when they're flying, even Arsenal to an extent right now, where they've got loads of good players, loads of options, and the confidence is that they know that even if they're only 5 out of 10, we've got that little bit of quality that'll just win us this game. Liverpool haven't really had that. There hasn't been anyone who's just gone, yeah, I'll just win us this game when we don't play well. Because, listen, we hark back to all the Jürgen, the great moments we've had, league winning season, Champions League, whatever. But there's games in there where Liverpool just sneaked out a 1-0 or just about got there with a little bit of quality. We haven't really seen that. This year it was more when we, like, Newcastle was the last kick of a game of a bounce of a ball. We had the West Ham game where it was a penalty save and a clearance off the line the last second. We haven't really shown the quality just to eke these sides out, where you don't have to outwork them, but you've just got too much for them.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're right in saying we need to match these teams for work rate, because we haven't got the difference in quality actually hasn't shown itself. Yeah.
Napoli and Ajax were just great examples of how you manage a football game, and we did ride our luck more certainly in the opening of the Ajax game than the Napoli, and they still had two really good opportunities to score in that match as well. But what we, you're right, you put that in first, you control the game, you take the sting out of it, get on the ball. You don't necessarily need to throw the kitchen sink at it, because I had that general feeling of the Napoli game was like, and we're the better team here. They've had a couple, they've made, there's one that he ends up, I think it's Kvaratskhelia, kicks it right at Alisson. And it's actually inside the 18-yard box, and it's a half-decent shot.
Takes a little nick off Trent. Trent gets caught on the ball, yeah.
But we've got the Thiago. Thiago has the shot when he's running onto it. On the balance of it, theirs is probably a more presentable chance. But I generally felt, in general, like we'd had the more of it, because we were just, we were in control. We were putting the work in.
And what gave us that ability, I went to Canate before, it was being able to play out from the back, because everyone understood where the player was they were supposed to pass to. Now, last night was the first time I've seen in probably three or four games where Alisson's hit the left back, because they're pressing high, and Fabinho's dropping in between Van Dijk and Konate, and there's four lads, and Alisson just three times knocked the ball over to Tsimikas. We used to do that all the time. Yeah. But when we play a formation that we don't know where our out balls are, and we just built up really well around the press time.
And you don't know who's covering for you, and you can't trust that the person's going to cover for you, so that leads to fear as well. And you're right, Konate can step into midfield knowing that there's going to be lads who are going to fill that gap in behind, and we saw that time and time again. That's the beauty of the three in midfield, particularly in the fullback areas. And it's mad that it just wasn't seemingly happening at the start of the season in the same way. But there was always Trent had another very middle of the road game, I thought. But in terms of who was in there helping him, you had a midfielder helping him, you had another centre back, you had the wide man coming back to help out when needs be. It just felt loads.
It was
more
a team performance for the first time.
Yeah.
Imagine an old pop group or whatever, and then you've split up, and then you come back, and they start playing your song, and you all know when you're meant to sing your bit, because it's just muscle memory. It looked like Liverpool were like an old pop group and that. Yeah, they weren't quite at the level that they used to be at or whatever, but they all knew the jobs. So like you're right in saying it was boss to see. Goal kick, all right, Fabinho's going to drop in. There's space for Robbo. Oh, there's Trent. He isn't playing centre mid anymore. He's just playing from his right back, and he's trying to play these balls. It looked like Liverpool were doing not a cheap imitation.
Bringing out the hits. Like,
yeah, bring it. Just wheel it out again, kind of thing.
A couple of weeks ago about how you'd find that Chelsea would do this all the time, where they'd be tasked with coming in and refreshing the team. So a new guy would come in, he'd bring in a load of young players, go tits up, he'd lose them.
Lampard, Terry, and Drogba.
Win the European trophy at the end of the season. And that's kind of what we feel like at the moment, whereas a combination of injuries robbing us of the younger players, and some of the younger players being a bit too young, we're not quite ready to hand the baton on with a smooth transition. We've missed the window of the smooth baton transition. Now we're playing a bit of catch up, and it's been a bit messy.
So what's happening in terms of the baton handing? They're stopped at the end of the box where they're not allowed to go any further, and they're just lashing down the fucking thing for them to grab.
Yeah, no, it is a bit of a mess. But my thing, I was having a think about this the other day.
Big thing or little thing?
Medium, if I'm honest.
Was it while you're having a wee?
No, driving. Oh, no, I wasn't driving because I had my fucking car. I was sat in the back of a fucking taxi, staring at the window of the world passing by. But it was about how about the climb to get to the top of your game, and how teams. I did a video on this on my channel, and I started off how you tend to start off a 4-2-3-1. And that's a very good counter-attacking formation, because it just gives you stability by having two guys in front of the back four, and then you've got you've got some pace, and you can start to build some possession into your play, but largely teams don't think you're very good, so they think you're beatable, so they leave themselves open to the counter-attack.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Manchester United.
Exactly. Leicester won the league doing that, but then could never come close to repeating that feat. Liverpool had it early under Klopp. But then you've got to transition to being a possession-based side, because inevitably teams stop playing that
against you. A point against you is a good result.
Exactly. But the problem we've got is that teams treat us like we're brilliant, but we're not brilliant. And so you go back to basics, go and be a counter. Well, you can't go back to 4-2-3-1. You can't go back in the process because teams don't play you like that. Teams don't throw the kitchen sink at you and leave themselves wildly open to doing the same thing. So that's where we've been at. We've been trying to play certain styles of play that would suit a team that was a bit crapper on the climb, but we're not on the climb. Our reputation goes precedes us, so we're still 4-3-3, as much as it's not perfect, we're still more often than not going to come up against teams that's going to suit us. And then it's about personnel on top of that, so just hopefully plugging someone like Darwin Núñez in. And it goes to one of the points I want to talk to you about. I've seen loads of people saying it, going, he's got to start now. He's got to start out all people say, I don't understand why he's not starting. That performance shows me exactly why he's not starting, because that impact that he can have in half an hour is bigger than anyone else we've got in that squad who's capable of doing that for half an hour. We saw Nottingham Forest, we're throwing Ox up front for the last 10 minutes in the fucking nine.
I think the fact that he doesn't start tells you how important he is.
Yeah.
It's that simple, because he wants some full strength for Napoli, for Tottenham at the weekend.
Yeah.
It's that easy, because he is an absolute handful. He's going to score bags of goals for us. My big thing this week, and I did this on a show, on the Final Word show, is that...
Whilst having a poo?
No, we were doing Final Word show. I wasn't doing the poo.
It was a big thing during the show.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting thing to
say. Yeah, they were boring. No, I'm kidding. I had an idea of what I wanted to talk about, and what I realised is that Liverpool's strategy in the transfer market, this is a big change from what we were talking about, was completely wrong, right, in terms of what Liverpool did. Because here's where it came from, right, and this is where it came from in ideas from why I wanted to talk about this. Climbing to the top is different from staying to the top.
Yeah.
When you are sell to buy and you want to climb to the top, you can take a few chances here and there on players. Liverpool didn't sell enough players to make their strategy worthwhile over the last 2 years, because we're sell to buy. We always have been sell to buy, whether you agree with it or you disagree with it. We needed to sell someone for 100 million like we did Coutinho to be able to reinvest that into the side. We have not recuperated anywhere near enough money for the level of players we needed to stay at the top of football.
Yeah.
So you need to, unfortunately, fans would have hated it. We needed to sell Salah for 150 million or Mane a year earlier for 150 million.
We said this 2 years ago, pre-COVID. The plan was quite clearly to sell Mo Salah after we win the league.
For 150 million goals.
Win the league, sell Mo Salah, get ridiculous money for him. And it was mentioned, a few people have talked about this week, like a couple of really good journalists. And you're right, COVID, no one likes to talk about the COVID impact anymore, because Liverpool came out financially actually in quite good condition because of how they managed it. But what it did damage, as the smartest sellers, you know, that we've been in the history of being Liverpool, but also amongst the smartest sellers in football, the market, the top bracket evaporated, and the 10 to 20 million market evaporated too. So all of a sudden, we were keeping Harry Wilson for another extra season. No one took Divock Origi Divock Origi was a £20 million
player.
Paul,
if you're sell to buy, you can't let Wijnaldum go on a free.
Yeah.
You can't let Divock Origi go on a free. You can't let these lads go on frees if you sell to buy. It's what Liverpool have always been.
It felt like there was no teams with enough money to rip off like we have been. You're right in a way, is that the policy that Liverpool, the transfer policy, was at odds with what was above them. So if they knew they had no money, they should have money because there should be more. But that's what we are. The owners have decided that's the way that Liverpool are going
to
be run.
Up to this point, anyway.
They might change that, but they haven't shown any willingness, and they probably need to, but they haven't. Maybe this could be a kick up the arse for them, we don't know. But you're right, is that what we've been left with, you mentioned this, it was perfect before, the squad, there's no one in the middle.
Yeah.
Because we missed 2 years of the signings because everyone's either too old or too young. There's the lads, unfortunately, who's in his prime years. It's Naby Keita who can't get on the pitch. It's Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain can't get on the pitch. And at the minute, it's Fabinho who looks like he's been space jammed and someone else is in his body. You are right in that. It's all just usually for a club that it's such joined up thinking.
Yeah.
It looks like we found ourselves in a
ransom note.
Basically, just scribble. Oh, the joined up thinking has now turned into fucking scribble on a paper because we haven't boxed it. So Jürgen and he's to blame. He's partly to blame. The ownership or everything. What he's been left with is a very unbalanced squad, and that can explain some of the inconsistencies. When Liverpool's first team are on the pitch, we'll be fine.
Yeah,
we're absolutely fine.
What I thought was really encouraging, actually, in the game, and it's that it was the late substitutions,
the young kids,
exactly. And it's that Liverpool have clearly missed the step, and I don't think it's as big a step as necessarily being sold, because we have got players in that age bracket. We haven't put them in midfield, which is clearly where we need them. But they've clearly identified we need more youth, and we need to refresh. And we've done that. We've refreshed two of the front three in the last 12 months, less than 10 months. We've done the same for the back four. And obviously, and then through progression through the academy, we've managed to do it in the goalkeeper area and in a couple of the slots in the squad. But when you see Konate in that team, and when you see Diaz running around, when you see Nunes running around, when you see Jota running around, when you see even like Shimakas being able to come in, and that, like, I thought he was brilliant last night, by the way. I think that might be my favourite Shimakas performance, because he wasn't quite the headless chicken that he has been when he's trying to win mad headers 50 yards out of position, but he was fighting for stuff. Anyway, by the by,
if you blended his qualities with Robbo's, you would have the best fullback that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Genuinely, because for me,
would he have a man bun?
What?
Would left back have a man bun?
One half.
Half, yeah. Half a man bun.
Yeah, one pigtail.
Yeah, one pigtail like that. I reckon, I said this on the Final Word Show before, his delivery from a corner is the best in the league.
It's
one of the best I've ever seen, actually, because it's in the same spot every fucking time. And yeah, Virgil or Nunes both went to that spot for that first one, because yeah, they knew exactly where the yeah ball was going.
It's kind of like 8 yards out, yeah, just left
it's
back.
It's why Virgil's there and winning headers every single week. He knows where the ball is. There's no changing your run to react to the ball. It's, I'm going to arrive at that spot, and if I arrive at the right time, I know the ball's going to be there.
Yeah.
But he is nowhere near as insightful in the final third as Robbo is.
Yeah.
And we just saw Robbo's best game, and then we've just followed up with Shimakas's best game this yeah season as well,
yeah,
which is great, which shows you what you can have when you've got two players fighting for a position, which is what we don't have everywhere else in the squad.
And that's where, again, just a couple of, I want to talk about Calvin Ramsey briefly. Great to see him on the pitch, you know, and the tiniest of tiny cameos, but a couple of little moments when he just takes a man on and comes away with the ball. Obviously got told by Yang, just go and show people a little bit of what you can do. No idea how good he's going to be or what he's going to be. I was quite surprised how tall he is, to be honest, and he looks quick as well, which I think is a positive thing. But
first thing he did was just chest the ball out for a corner for them, and I was like, that's fucking brilliant. That sound. I'm here all day for you, not trying to throw a stupid back pass to the keeper and he slips over and they score. I'm here for you just knocking the ball out of play.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that Konate did on the night as well,
yeah,
because he just knocked the ball out of play and went, right, let's just regroup.
Yeah. I loved Ibu last night. I thought he was fantastic.
I think his passing was a bit wild to start with, but again, he's not played. The one where he kicks it like a fucking cannonball at Mo Salah's head down the challenge. The one that Gomez was playing the other day.
I don't know. That ball. I think there's nothing wrong with that. If Mo's good enough, he'll control it.
I was just in
the process. It's fucking brilliant.
I think a lot of the...
You know what? You have to have trust in the players you're playing with.
better when he starts to dribble on it than passing it. But yeah.
I also think you can go back to like Liverpool look more solid and confident. It must be dead easy when you know the lad behind you isn't having a stinker. Because for the last few weeks, and I include Virgil van Dijk in this, everyone ahead of Liverpool's thinking, our centre back's having a bit of a wobble here.
Yeah.
We need that it does it must worry it, because like yeah, van Dijk hasn't been at it. He's been just he's literally been the opposite of at it. He's been 2 yards away from everything, standing still. Konate wasn't there. Gomez has been up, really up and down. He's had a real struggle. I think just getting those two back, solid two centre, really playing well with each other, it was the building blocks really to what was a good performance.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's the thing. He's got the height. He's got the power.
He's got everything.
He's got the pace. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. But what I just liked is toward the back end of the game, and it's too early for Stefan Bajicic and Harvey Elliott and Carvalho and Jones for them to all be starting games of football for us, and Ramsey at fullback and Konate at centre half. Because all of a sudden people complain about our average age. All of a sudden that's a young team we've got out there, and it is too young for some of them. But when you saw the vibrance and you saw the willingness, like Harvey Elliott coming on for Milner in that formation, I was a little worried because of how much dirty work Milner was doing for us. And Elliott added all the determination, all the fighting, all the running, all the kicking. but added a bit more, I'm going to carry this ball 10, 15 yards and slalom past someone and play a forward pass. And when he started to link up, that little bit of link up where I think it's Ramsey plays it back and then, it comes over the top and Elliot takes it off Salah's toe, yeah. Plays a little give and go, then he plays a little 1-2 with Carvalho and then Salah gets played through and stuff. And you're like, it gave me real hope and encouragement that if we want to be a team that was going to put down 95 points and challenge on all four fronts, then look, we fucked it big by not buying a couple more ready-made footballers to drop into the team, but we're clearly capable of winning one-off games of football, which bodes well for the cups. And it says to me that I don't, even if we were to have a bad season domestically by our standards, I don't see how we're not a much better team next season.
Well, you're absolutely right, and Arsenal's a classic example of this, because everybody last season was going, look, they've got the young players to be able to win games of footy. It's when in 2 years' time, everyone was saying, myself included, in a couple of years' time, they'll be able to put that consistently together. Now Arsenal are actually what Liverpool probably need to be next season. You know, we can showcase that Darwin Nunes and Salah in the last couple of games have linked up really, really well. You know, when you throw a third body
across the box.
That fucking knockoff Randy Orton did unbelievably well to get rid of that ball. I've no idea how he doesn't score a frigging own goal. He was the same fella who RKO'd it into our net, wasn't it, off that free kick. But when they play well together, Mane, Firmino and Salah didn't become the front three overnight. It takes time. Carvalho, Elliot, these lads have all got something. In a year's time, they're going to be absolutely superb for us. I have no doubt about it.
One last player I want to talk about, because again, I'm at the point where I kind of find it hilarious, is the Curtis Jones stuff. You touched upon it before, Chris. I'm not going to sit here and say that Curtis Jones is an absolute world of a footballer, but I'm also like, I have seen a lot of really like, makes me quite uncomfortable, it's like, if he wasn't Scouse X, Y, Z, and the amount of people who are like, he's not good enough, like unequivocally prepared to say that a 21-year-old lad who is getting game time in a, you know, having come through the academy, by the way, you know, and getting game time in big games of football for Liverpool is definitely not good enough. Like, people are happy to go, nah, he's shit or he's rubbish. That's his third appearance of the season, right? He has that very little cameo before Forest. He plays the full 90 at Forest, and then I think this is the third appearance. I think I'm right on that. If anyone knows, please feel free to shout in the comments. But that was his best performance of the lot by an absolute mile. I was really pleased with him, and I couldn't even see half of what he did in the first half until I watched the highlights back. And like, he definitely lacks that killer instinct to be in the front three. He's not Jota and he's not Diaz. He's not like born to score goals, because the one that Salah plays him through, he's like a yard safe in his positioning, and he's not in motion before the ball gets played. He runs after Salah plays the pass.
A poor ball, actually.
And in addition, Salah overplays it. But he comes very tantalisingly close to scoring that. He has a decent header when he gets great movement to get himself into that position. And then his all round, his hold up play. A couple of times where he gets caught or holds on a little bit too long. I'm sorry, but nobody criticises Thiago or any of our other players for doing that. And they all do that every game as well, by the way. I was just really encouraging.
Just on that one chance where Salah plays him through, I think Curt Jones wanted it inside on his right foot. And I think Salah plays the complete wrong pass and overhits the pass that he does play, because he's left it such that he can play it in and I'm going to hit it right footed first time or take a touch and hit it first time, but he sends him off to his left foot. Curt Jones ain't going to want it on his left foot 3 yards from goal on a mad angle. He's not Mo Salah. He can't do those types of things. But that ball from him to Salah, where Salah's just offside, that's a brilliant ball. Like, there's so much that what Jones did. And I said earlier on in the show, Diaz is the reason that we weren't playing 4-3-3. Jones was the reason we were able to play 4-3-3 last night.
Yeah.
Because he pressed. He understands how to play that left-hand side role. All right. No, look, maybe he did have 80% pass completion. I don't care. What I care about is what he's doing with the football in a good sense. And when he's playing well, he's really, really good. And he defends really hard. And right now, he's not a world beater. Right now, he might just be a Premier League squad player. But there's loads of Scousers who've come through the academy that never made it to Premier League squad player, Paul, as you well know.
Absolutely. we talked about him on the debate show this week on Plus, and it was a really good, like, what next for Curtis Jones? And my point was exactly that today. I said, you know, yes, you know, Trent and Robbie Fowler and Michael Owen and Steven Gerrard, but we're truly great sides. Don't just create stars, they create squad players. Man United were as much of a success for their Darren Fletchers and John O'Shea's and the Neville brothers than they were for Paul Scholes's and David Beckham's, you know, and now Marcus Rashford's and what have you. Being able to create a lad who could, if all I want Kurt to be, I want it to be more, but I would be delighted if he's just able to come in and hold his own in centre mid, and if he can hold his own on the left hand side, even better. He can play both eights.
He's 21. He's played three positions for us.
That's his issue, is that he is a left sided player, but he's not a Liverpool left sided player because he hasn't got the pace and doesn't score enough goals. What we expect from our left of a three, we expect
20
a centre forward. We expect Luis Diaz to score 20 goals, or we expect Sadio Mane, was there Diogo Jota. Okay, that's where Kurt's going to play. My gut feel, if you ask me hand on heart, is I don't think he's going to be a Liverpool player long term, but I think he'll be a Premier League player, and he'll probably be, you know, someone who plays between 8th and 15th, and he'll do well for them. If, like, I don't know, maybe like a Brighton, or just a decent side. That's where I think he is at now. But he's got room to change that, of course.
Well, that's the point. He's at that level now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he might never kick on beyond that. But my point on this is that it seems to be like, because I get that, and that seems to be quite a prevalent attitude. But, like, if you're good enough to play at the top end of the Championship, and you're good enough to play for, you know, a middle of the road Premier League team, you're more than good enough to be a squad player for Liverpool.
If you're Liverpool's seventh choice midfield, what's happened, unfortunately, and I think I'm right in saying that some people, I agree, I saw that he wouldn't be playing if he scouts. I don't think Jürgen Klopp really gives a fuck if he scouts.
No, well, he's literally bought Fabio Carvalho. Yeah. So we have this all along. It's like the Jordan Henderson fucking argument. So, you know, he's not good enough. It's like, mate, Jürgen Klopp, the manager, has been buying footballers in of his own choice. He's rubber stamped these deals for these lads. He's trained them. He's chosen these, and he's choosing to play lads who've been there before or have come through. That's not by, like, accident. That's because he genuinely thinks these lads are good enough to do.
But if I was building a squad, right, and I'm looking at a player who is borderline first teamer, or he's not far away from the first team, Kurt Jones, that's where I think he is right now. I'd much rather have Kurt Jones than somebody else who's going to leave in a couple of years, Nico Williams, for example, because he lives Liverpool Football Club, and he'd rather play at Liverpool as a bit part player over the next 10 years than go and play for 8th to 15th in the Premier League. Yeah. He would.
Jamie Carragher saying, why would you join Fulham?
Exactly.
Like, some players would join Fulham and some wouldn't.
And he's still got fucking 7 years to improve before he hits his prime.
Yeah.
So, like, we're talking, and this is what we always forget as fans. We forget the players can improve.
Yeah.
He's not the player that he was when he was 17. He's not the player that he was when he was 20. He's 21. He's had some bad injuries, and he needs to kick on from here. I think we all recognise that.
Do you think it's familiarity breeds contempt? Because he's been known for so long. He come in at such a young age, and obviously the goal that he scores. Kurt Jones has been a Liverpool player like five. He's four years now.
My cousin said to me the other day, when he was like, he went on a bit of Anti Jones tirade, and he went, he's 24 years old, and I was like, he's 21 years old. Okay, he's 22 in January, but that's still entering the bracket of, you're entering towards, we're buying lads at age 22, 23, and knowing that it's going to take them a year to get up to speed in the side. But, you know, Darwin Nunes, realistically, at 23, we've bought him a year too early in his development, which is why we've got this raw as fuck player, albeit a really super exciting one. But that's the thing with him, he's only just starting to come into his truly useful years. He's still learning, and it's familiarity breeds contempt. We used him far more than we should ever have done during the COVID season. I think he made 34 appearances for us that season. And I get the stats, but I did this on the debate show. I think he got something like 5 goals and 4 assists, which is a really solid return from a Liverpool midfielder. And I think maybe the people expected that to be his base level, which he's been hampered by a couple of daft injuries since then. And also now you've got Harvey Elliott and Carvalho, who are 2 or 3 years younger, and they're the gems.
Yeah.
They're a bit newer and they're a bit shinier and they're a little bit more exciting in their own way. And now people feel like, yeah, because they feel like Curtis Jones is in his mid-20s and hasn't kicked on, you know, when...
But I'm seeing people tweeting all over the place, like, all he does is pass backwards. I'm like, you're looking at the telly the wrong way. Like... You know, because that through ball to Salah wasn't a backwards pass, mate. Why can't you see that?
Two brilliant passes to Salah, and one of them's, I can't say it's brilliant because it doesn't come off. The little chipped one over the top in the second half, and it's like an inch away from Salah just getting a little toe and putting it past the goalkeeper or whatever. He's more than capable of it. It feels a little bit like my in FSG defence. I just don't see it as much of an issue. Not everything has to be brilliant or shite. Sometimes things can just be fine. You know what I mean? Sometimes things can be acceptable. I don't need to go over. I don't think we need to over-egg how brilliant Curtis Jones is. But I do think for 21 years old, I think he is a very, very, very good footballer. He just needs to show it more.
The summer was like a double-edged sword for Curtis Jones. The reason he's playing so much is because Liverpool didn't sign players. The issue he gets a bit Christmas because he's another one who's just too high up in the squad. And I think Jordan Henderson gets this to an extent, James Milner gets this. The fact is, everyone, I think, we don't know who Liverpool starters really. Thiago nailed on. It should be Fabinho, but again, form-wise dictates otherwise. And I think everybody else from that there onwards is one place too high. Because in theory, that third spot should be a new guy, like an absolute baller. And everyone else should follow suit, but everyone's one place too high. It doesn't help when two of those lads, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita, can't be on the pitch. So if Curtis Jones is midfielder number 8, where you go, you know what? What else are we going to do? When he's midfield number 4, you're thinking, oh, that isn't his fault. If Liverpool would have done him a favour, and if it was Fabinho, Thiago, and Tchouaméni, Jude Bellingham, whoever this midfielder was going to be, Lyman, whoever it was, and then you look down and you go, well, who's next up? Oh, it's a fit Naby Keita. All right. And then it's Jordan, and then it's Milner, and then it's Chamberlain, and then it's Jones. You're thinking, at that point, and then it's Elliot. Everyone's like, Harvey Elliott shouldn't be playing that many. He's played way too much against Eddie. He starts every game almost. That everyone's one too high. It goes back to the summer. But yeah, everyone's quick to criticise the owners and everyone else for the transfer stuff. And they should, at times, I agree with that. I think they should have done it. But then you can't then say, well, he should have signed someone. Oh, by the way, Curtis Jones. It's like, well, it's not his fault. He's in that gap that you're saying needed filling. Does that make sense?
Well, I said, again, I go back to 2021, sorry, the COVID season.
Yeah, go back to 1920.
102 years.
I'm going to take you on a journey, boys.
Me,
wow,
mate.
Yeah. The war.
Liverpool won their fourth league title.
And it's a goal for Billy Little Score, see?
Yes, fantastic.
The clackers are going.
Go back to the COVID season.
I think we'd be good in 1920.
I think that would be good.
We'd be 1920s
gentlemen. We'd be taking the overhead railway to the match.
34.
Two shillings and the St. John's scored his fourth goal.
Four goals, five assists. 1,921 minutes of football for us that season. He gets a goal and two assists in 5 Champions League appearances in that as well. So 2 years old, like a 19-year-old kid. If we were buying everyone right now is looking at those lads around Europe and saying, why aren't we buying this lad? Why aren't we buying this lad? You'd be all over buying that lad based on what we saw from him in that season. And then if that lad then had some of the wild, mad injuries, like the mad eye injury that he had in the middle of last season and the shin splints thing that he's had at the start of this season.
Just growing stuff, probably.
Exactly. You wouldn't be writing off that. You wouldn't be saying this lad's shit and he's got nowhere to. You'd be prepared to give him a bit more time. So I agree. There's just a thing. And there is also this really weird small faction online. And obviously you don't meet them in real life because they wouldn't dare. Who just seems to not like Scousers or be more critical towards Scousers. And maybe it's a snapback from feeling that Scousers are more, you know, more favourable towards Scousers, which we all should be, by the way. We should all be pushing. We did this on the podcast last week when Alfie made the point of, so we won 11 Scousers, and he went, well, actually, I'm happy for Harvey Elliott because he represents the South London Liverpool fans. Like, okay, cool. We weren't a team full of Liverpool fans. We weren't a team full of people who love the club as much as we do. So we should be desperate for Curtis Jones to be a success. I've done three tweets in the last 12 hours. One of them said I was really pleased with Curtis, really good game, came through, a top talent, and then the amount of weirdos who came out who just were desperate to jump on, here's my negative opinion about Curtis Jones. So then I quote tweeted it saying, a lot of people out on themselves as needing a bit more love in their life. And then they came back and more, it filtered down, but some people who were desperate to get that opinion again.
The triads.
And then I've put a third quote tweet of that, and they're still coming. And they're still, like, what? And I'm filtering them out, but those people who are so desperate. And it starts to look desperate. It's like it starts to smell of, I don't want him to be successful. And when you get into that point, that's your issue. Nothing to do with Curtis's ability or Liverpool's recruitment or anything. He's a Liverpool player. Why don't we just enjoy the fact that we've got another local lad playing?
I just don't know why you can have a definitive opinion yet. You can have your ideas. My idea, based on I think he'll go elsewhere, is because I think he's a good footballer. I just don't think he suits us. His game isn't the Pills game. They are two completely different things.
You say that, but actually Cyber Unders put a really interesting thing. There's not enough minutes for a true comparison on this. I don't know if anyone saw that. Is it, what's, Chris, I'll bring it up on screen. Have we got the laptop, Joe? No, never mind. One of them. Where, yeah. What's that graph called?
A spider diagram.
Spider
something or other.
But in terms of Genie versus Curtis Jones, and Curtis is basically... It's very Genie Wijnaldum. Wijnaldum plus.
He is, but the eye test tells me about him. Like, his position, I was funny, I was watching the BT coverage, obviously, and Michael Owen was on it, and Steve McMahon was saying, they've seen him because they've been working at the academy. He's a left side of the attacker. We've tried to convert him into a centre mid, and just because it worked for Genie Wijnaldum, I don't think it's working for Curtis. That, again, I absolve him a little bit of the Forest game because that was mental. He comes in on the day of the morning of the game because the best player's got earache. That's different. But like, I don't think his game translates into being turned into something he's not. I don't think he translates into going further back. If he's going to play anywhere in the midfield, it'll be the left hand side of the three. Sos this.
He might fall into, you're right, he might fall into the Jadon Shaqiri trap.
Yeah, he's
where
decent,
he's
but
better
he
suited to a 4-2, a left in a 4-2-3-1 than left in a 4-3-3. But I like him in midfield. I think he's good. I think he's got both sides of the midfield. He's just suffering from the fact that we bought Thiago Alcantara in, who's a generationally fucking.
That's not suffering, though. That's because that's the level. That's the point. To play for Liverpool in midfield. That's your level. I think he's a good. That's right. I think he's good, but I don't think he's Liverpool good enough yet. Can he get there? Maybe. I don't think he's gonna get the chance because Tyson Thiago, he's not playing much. And if Thiago's not gonna play, is it gonna be someone else? What's he gonna do? I think when the forwards are all back, he might go back to 4-2-3-1. But I find it baffling that I'm with you because I got the tweet just he's a championship player. Well, he's not. That's a complete. I got someone to message me like he wouldn't even get on the bench for like 15 Premier League clubs. That's all hyperbole. The truth is always, as it often is, and you probably it's somewhere in the middle. He's probably at the moment. He's a decent enough squad option.
There's not a game of football that you couldn't drop him into a Liverpool 11 for. And I'm not saying to be the main man or be a star. At 21 years old, if you're good enough to come into any game of footy, then you're good enough. You know, you're more than good enough to be at Liverpool.
Look, he's clearly better in the left wing position for me at the moment.
Yep, I'd agree. Mm-hmm.
Because he understands that role, because he's played that role all of his life. He has all the attributes to play centre midfield. How he impacts games is whether he'll become a midfielder or not, because he doesn't have an attacking impact on the game when he plays in midfield. He keeps it a little bit safe, which is something that Wijnaldum was accused of a lot. Is it by design or is it by him not being able to impact the game? I don't know. I always felt when Wijnaldum went to Holland, you could see he had all the flair in the world. But when he played for Liverpool, he was asked to do a job for the team. Curtis Jones may just have to do that. Now, the problem is you're replacing our most attacking creative outlet from the midfield position. So it's not apples for apples here. He needs someone to play Harvey Elliott on the right, with him on the left, and Elliott be the creative force to see how good a midfielder he can be. But right now, he can't translate how he attacks from the left and how he attacks from the middle. He just can't do it at the moment.
There's loads of people, and again, what at 21 years old, he's got experience, he's played in the Champions League, he's won trophies with Liverpool, he's played in big games of football, he's actually had telling impacts in big games of football with big goals or assists in different competitions as well. And I'm not suggesting that, when I use this as an example, but there's just loads of footballers you don't know what they are until they're 23, 24, 25. You know, there was a point, and people forget this like that Gareth Bale was just a very, very average, albeit fast left back.
Until Inter Milan.
Until one day just it all clicked for him. I don't necessarily say that's gonna happen to Curtis Jones, of course, but you know, there was a point where he hadn't won a game at left back for Spurs or whatever, you know, like they couldn't win when they had Gareth Bale in the team, and then he ends up being one of the greatest players on the planet.
If Liverpool put Curtis Jones on the transfer market now, I guarantee you a Premier League team would buy him.
Yeah.
So he's a Premier League player. So anyone who's tweeting me saying he's a Championship League One player, you're talking shit. Aston Villa want them in the summer. And again, maybe Steven Gerrard just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Cause he's
got scouts bias.
Maybe that's what it is, just a scouts thing. But like, he will go to a Premier League team. Like, he's of that level. At worst, he's probably like Nico Williams' level.
He's exactly what Jürgen wants in a squad player as well, because he can play multiple positions.
Versatile, happy to... And begrudgingly accepting of his role. I don't think he likes being. I think he thinks he should be playing, but he gets on with it. That's what he is. This is the thing.
He's got to improve and he's got to take opportunities when they arrive. Like every fucking young player that's ever broken into a side.
Liverpool's biggest problem is because Curtis Jones is part of the squad. He's become the lightning rod, because Trent was the lightning rod for a while, and Trent's got a little bit better. And Gomez was the lightning rod, and he got dropped.
Well, Adam Lallana had it for fucking young.
All this being said, let's not play him in a two. Man, midfield.
No. That's what I'm saying. I just don't see where he fits. That's the only issue we've got. I think he's a good footballer. I just don't know where he fits for us.
Yeah.
But if he can learn to be an adequate fill-in at left wing at times and on left mid at times, where you know for a fact you're not reliable. He's not the man to win you the game, but he's the man who just
we've been
not
crying
fuck the game
our
up.
Eyes out for the last month about how we let Divock and Tacky go because of having that depth. And like, there's a lad who, yeah, you're right. You know, when you're picking your best 11 for Man City at the Etihad, he's probably not in it. But he's not in it, is he? But if you want to win competitions on all kinds of fronts, you need hungry, talented footballers. And he's got that. And he's got he's pacey and he's skillful.
He's captain of my derby. Do you know the Derby County team? Because the team I want to put out in that, he's captain for
anyway.
Me.
I'm sorry to harbour the point, but... He's not good enough for us to play on the left wing at the moment. This version of Kurt Jones, he just doesn't score the goals. I think Steve said it earlier on. But if he could have that impact from the centre of the park that he had from the left, he'd be very much a good option in midfield. Mm-hmm. I see his future as a left-sided midfield player for Liverpool in an eight only. But with the option of, I'll go out on the right if you fucking need me. Yeah. I'll go out on the left if you fucking need me. He might not make it to be a first teamer, and right now he's not showing the qualities of being a Liverpool first teamer, but he very much is.
Liverpool just
needs
to go and buy someone fucking amazing, and then we don't have to worry about who the other lads are. We can just be made up that there's another Scouse lad who's good enough to play and be in a Liverpool squad, which is what we should all be made. We should be delighted, absolutely delighted with that. And again, short memories. I've gone through years of Jordan Rosters and John Welshes and Jay Spearings and all these other lads who were all sound, technically getting Cameron Brannigan, technically gifted footballers. They lack the physical attributes to really be capable of holding
them.
Yeah, and this is the best Liverpool side of all that any of those were ever in, and he actually is. Holding his own in that is a very, very good thing. Anyway, right.
Basically, what you're saying is, if we'd signed you, Bellingham, it'd all be sound. That's what we've just landed on.
Also, if Kurt cut his hair like a crew cut, probably people would like him more.
Maybe, I don't know. It's just one of them. People's passionate need to have a footballer to hate on. I find absolutely
misery loves company.
I just find it baffling. I genuinely do. You can have your favourites. And you have people you like less, but to just hold on to such a strong negative opinion over a lad who is going to go out there and give everything he can to try and make you happy. Like, that's what his existence is.
Are we talking about Matt Hancock here going on? I'm a celeb, or we'll Kurt Jones? I'm not sure.
Listen to Plus Extra, Podcast Extra. Sponsorship time. Who knows wins? We're going to be going through this week's picks.
Did you win? Bazillions of pounds this week.
I didn't, but yes. Last week's results, Steve tied 51st.
51st state?
Winning a 51st state. Winning a huge £7.46 after getting 7 out of 10. Me and Chris both
got 6. What
would
that be in 1920?
It'd be 25 shillings, see?
Story.
I don't know why I'm sure he was in Popeye, that character.
Yeah. Story of the week, though, was
sold hamburgers and
Penny-Cop, who got 10 out of 10 and wow. £5,500. Wow. Absolutely incredible.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, there we go. Absolutely amazing. That's just well done. Well done indeed. The Leeds game day pot. Steve shone again with 5 out of 10.
That's my shiny head.
Me, Chris got 2 out of 10.
Me. I got 1 out of 10.
I got 1 out of 10.
One out of ten.
So. Yeah. I can't even. You know what? I wonder if I can find what that was. It was a shocking.
I bet he got the friggin' Liverpool Leeds result right.
Yeah,
well known. He's outed himself already this week a couple of times.
Careful. I the only one I got right was Leeds to have over 3.5 cards. I guessed Liverpool to win. I got both teams to score. No, I thought we were just going to win it 1-0. I'll be honest. Over 2.5 goals, like I said, no. I said Liverpool were going to be winning the first half. Incorrect. Liverpool over 7.5 corners, I said no. Liverpool over 1.5 cards, I said yes. That was incorrect. Leeds over 2.5 corners, no. And Darwin Nunez to score any time, I said yes. Paul, and the answer was no.
Paul, I cannot believe you went for 10. Liverpool to be winning at first half. Right, yeah. We've conceded after the first goal in every game for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Right, I don't know how you've done this.
No,
right.
I know.
You idiot.
It was because, Paul. It was solely because I thought we were going to win 1-0.
That should have been your one.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Never mind.
It was all geared to... Well, nobody was... Look, to be honest, Mr. 2 out of 10. It wasn't like it was especially geared towards your insight.
Doubled your result, Paul. Doubled, my friend. That was twice as good
as you. Is that me with the fellow with the champagne? And he's on the second to bottom step. Like,
looking at the 2 leagues covered this weekend that involved the Reds. The Sunday Pick 10 League, which is a 5K pot. And the Liverpool versus Tottenham 2K. Game day. That's got a whole host of things. Which one should we focus on? Should we do Liverpool Spurs and have a look at that one?
Okay, this is mine.
Go on, so this
go
is
on, let's see what Chrissy P's gone for.
Let's see. So he's got Liverpool.
Tell us, Chris.
Do you want to do it or shall I do it? I'll be the four. I'll announce it. So you think Liverpool are going to win?
Yeah.
Both teams are going to score, so therefore there's obviously got to be over 2.5 goals.
See, I worked that one out myself, unlike you the other week.
Yeah, I got that one wrong, didn't I? Yeah. First half draw, Pajak knows what he's on about. 1-1. Half time?
I'm thinking 1-1.
Yep, it works out. Spurs will have over 4.5 corners. They'll have over 1.5 cards. The Reds will have over 1.5 cards and 4.5 corners. And big Darwin Nunez to score
it. It sounds right, that doesn't it?
You sounds like get a barnstorming game now. We're on for a good game there if you get that. And then, shall I go and have a little very look at the quick 10? Sorry, the pick 10 stuff.
The quick 10.
A quick pick for Sunday's pick 10. There you go. Chelsea to beat Arsenal.
Yeah,
I've gone for that.
Okay, you've got Rangers to be St Johnstone, United to be Villa, Newcastle to be Southampton, West Ham to be Palace, a draw between Solskjaer and Voluntary. That's not where your La Liga knowledge is shining.
Oh, go on, I think it's going to be a draw because I don't know who's higher up on the table.
When you've scouted Solskjaer.
Honestly, it's been weeks and weeks of scouting them.
The Reds to beat Spurs, like you just said. You've got Roma winning the derby against Lazio and a draw v Juve and Internacional, and then Marseille to beat Lyon.
Yeah, I think so.
If your European footy knowledge is good this week, you've got a very good chance, and who knows wins, because there's lots of foreign games. And like I say, you're playing against idiots like us.
can we just backtrack idiots against? I know you weren't here for my spectacular win, which now is quite a long way ago. But it was only the Forest game when I come top of the piles.
So you didn't have to know if Solskjaer had a better than Valencia.
Was that Liverpool Forest?
Yeah.
How does your European football knowledge help you with that one?
No, but you said idiots.
In this
and
regard.
I'm European idiots.
Yeah, that's what he said. Right, if you're European.
Anglophobes, you're like Scousers, Paul. You're like Scousers.
Well, hang on a second. Actually, I'm joint 50th in the Ajax versus Liverpool there in Europe, right? Yeah, you're right. My pick 10. Have not been great so far this season, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, you can scan the QR code or you can go to redmen.whoknowswins.com and get involved. They're paid leaks, so make sure that you are over 18 and please be gamble aware. Don't get involved if you've got any issues with these kind of things. But as you can tell, we're having quite a good laugh. With this. I'd be interested to know how the runnings have gone with everyone so far, because it's good to see you finally getting in the money on something.
Listen. Yeah. What I would say is that, right?
I mean, Dan getting you in the money.
That's illegal. You can't say that. What I would say is that I didn't want to peak too early. So I'm getting to the World Cup.
Lulling us all into like, a false like sense Liverpool. Of security.
I am the epitome of the red, yeah. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Yeah.
I want one of them 5.5 gram pots like Penny Cop. I want to win one of them bad
it's
boys.
But to the point, it's clearly possible.
Well, I think that's in the gambling license.
Yeah.
If you couldn't win, you can't win.
I mean, for three European idiots, it's quite clearly possible. Right, and yeah, again, go to redmen.whoknowswins.com or scan the QR code. You can obviously download the app, but if you go through the web address it makes us look better. So do it that way if you would be so
kind.
And
me and Steve and Paul need all the help we can get with making us look better.
100%. Right, three games now till the break. How are we feeling? Everything just feels more capable when Liverpool show themselves.
I'm not
to be
really
capable.
Ready for a midweek loss to Derby, but I'm here for a win against Tottenham.
Yeah,
I think we're going to win against Tottenham. I think we're going to win against Derby, and I think we're going to win against Southampton. If I'm honest with you, I think we go four wins on the bounce ahead into the break, and we walk in there a bit like Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
like this is it.
There's nothing we can do here.
Not the best reference at the moment.
Yeah, nothing we can do here at the moment.
Google what Vince McMahon's been up to recently.
Nothing we can do here at the minute.
Did it alter his gait when he walked down the ring 20 years ago when I saw it? No, that's fine.
No, probably, yeah. The picture again, which is an issue.
It's the interpretation of how you look at it.
Yeah, like, there's a reason why he was walking that way. We podcast extra.
Yeah. there's nothing we're going to do in the... It's Vince McMahon, mate. Just don't worry about it. There's only two games in the league between now and then, as you mentioned, Tottenham and Southampton. But to the point, there's 6 points to play for. Even if we win all them, it's not going to make the league table look brilliant for us. But it is a lot about... It's a bit like, I think, like the Napoli game in and of itself, Steve. We didn't finish top of the group, so we've still got the more difficult draw. Ladder on Monday, by the way, on the YouTube channel.
Mr. Champions League's
back.
Oh,
the Champions League draw. Chris
Page. Oh, that's me. Yeah. Not the knockoff Ranieri.
Yeah, yeah.
You are Mr. Champions
Go
League.
Go ahead, I'll take that.
But what I'm kind of driving at with these four games now is it's an opportunity to go into that break feeling better. If you're going to look at the league table, you're going to look worse. And it's not necessarily going to set us up brilliantly for when we come back. But just going into that break without that sense of impending disaster is kind of what we're playing for.
Yeah, also, like, Ella made this point yesterday, actually, on the show. It was a good one. Like, what Liverpool did with this Champions League is they meant the season isn't over till March at the earliest because they've got two games to play. Getting through the League Cup would help. We can keep things alive. The Premier League...
Can I ask you on the League Cup? Sorry to interrupt, Steve. If we win this, we come back, like... The week leading up to Christmas, so it's the week of the 19th is the next round.
They play the game like just before Christmas, I think.
It's the week of the literally the words I just said. The week of the 19th,
midweek of the 19th.
Yeah, yeah. So
the World Cup final is the 18th, isn't it? And then,
so it's the week of the 19th, Steve. Is that what we're saying?
Which is a midweek, yeah.
And okay, and Paul, you're saying it's the week of the 19th. I've got a feeling, lads, that between the three of us, we've deduced that it's the week of the 19th.
We've just stolen a minute of your lives there.
Move on.
We play Boxing. At the moment, Boxing Day
is
was
that
our
after the 19th.
We could come back.
We could come back on the
19th.
So what I'm trying to ask is. We've been in this situation before where we've kind of gone, oh, fuck the League Cup because how it impacts and has a knock-on impact. It's a stupid game in a stupid place. How do you feel about it this time?
I think getting through could be good because you could have a little warm-up before you play Villa on Boxing Day. So if you get through against Derby, you might not play a really strong team, whoever the next draw is, but you might say to someone who hasn't, you might say to Mo Salah, who's had a month off, do you fancy half an hour in this one just to get get some tread back on the tyres kind of thing. So, yeah... I think it is what it is. He should play a young team. He will do. Although I do think Jürgen could go stronger than he might want to, because again, if anyone's not playing against Southampton, you might as well play them against Derby because what else to do?
Yeah.
We can't get ourselves back. Definitely, I still think as it stands, Liverpool can come top four. And if they win the two games against Southampton and Spurs, that's still the case. If they lose one and draw and don't win and win one, they are borderline. So you can play yourself out of it, basically. These two games, we're not going to guarantee nothing, but if they don't win them, then we are a cup team for the remainder of the season. So it's not so much about going into the World Cup into the break, four wins on the spin. It's more of when we come back, what are we doing? What are we here for? Are we here with all our eggs in the Champions League basket, with potentially trying to win a little domestic cup on the way? Or are we actually trying to salvage that fourth place? Because if they don't beat Southampton... and Spurs probably, or at least get 4 points, then that's gone. I think that's gone. So that's where we're at right now, is that we're trying to, these next three games, decide what we're coming back to, because we know this is, listen, this is our job. We peek behind the curtain here. We know we might just be all eggs in the Champions League. And we've had seasons like that before where you're like not even asked about anything else.
This is shaking.
Sorry, with the greatest of respect, no. We're not out of the top four race if we lose the next two games.
I think we are 100%. No, We'd be like 10th in the league.
We pulled 14 back on the best team in the country last season, give or take a point. These are not the best teams in the world, you know, that we're talking about. They could go through a little mad patch where they lose two or three games.
Yeah, but there'll be so many of them, Chris.
I understand how the league works. All I'm saying is, I disagree with you fundamentally that we can actually close the gap on those shit teams above us.
No, Three points for a win. Yeah, no, teams playing for twice.
And I'm with the greatest of respect.
Yeah, no, we can disagree.
I'm not looking for an argument. I'm just saying that I disagree. I think Liverpool have got everything to play for. I think it would be stupid, actually, to go in the Champions League basket because you can't do that. Winning breeds winning.
They won't. This is such a false fucking notion. And I'm not saying you're saying this necessarily, Steve. And I hope not anyway, is that you don't throw your eggs into the Champions League basket until you get to like the quarters or the semis. We did this with the Europa League, where we were like, well, what's our best chance of getting back in, of getting into the Champions League? Well, we can go flat out for two games a week and probably fuck both. But you know, you make that decision down the line. I agree.
I was thinking from a fan's point of view. If Liverpool are battling for like seventh, no one's gonna give a fuck.
However, which is why I asked the League Cup question, is because do we care? Do Liverpool care enough about the League
Cup? It's only about what players are available in the squad at what time. Do they need games or don't they need games, as far as I'm concerned, for the League Cup? If there's lads who are back and they need games, be in the League Cup. If they're not, fuck the League Cup.
And Jürgen thinks the same, because remember the quarter final against Leicester? It was Leicester, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, he starts Billy Kometi as centre half, and he takes them all off at half time. But like, Jürgen's in the same boat as you. He will play, he'll just pick, it'll be lads who need games or lads who need, and that'll be dependent. And then he'll get to the semi final and he'll pick a strong team. That's what he tends to do. Although even that, you know, he plays Kay Gordon away at Arsenal. So you're right in saying, I always see the League Cup as a test of where your squad's at.
We'll never go in full strength on it, but it is that thing of, it's how strong. Do we treat this like another rotational game for Derby next week, where you just kind of,
what he'll do, Paul, he'll see, he'll look at who's played Tottenham and who's playing Southampton. If someone's not on his first 15 for Southampton, so we're starting 11 plus what he'd like as his three or four first subs, the rest of them will play. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see the likes of Keita, Chamberlain, you know, Gomez might play, because they're going to need games at some point, all these guys.
Have you seen when the fixtures are? So round four is, as mentioned, the week commencing the 19th. That's the week leading up to Christmas.
I'm glad you clarified that once again. I don't think we'd cover that point quite
enough. Round five is the week commencing the 9th of January. Semi-final, still two legs, pricks. We commence on the 23rd and the 30th of January, and the final is still the last week in February. It's fucking nuts.
It almost sounds like they could have started that competition a bit earlier. Like, it's a cup competition that's spread over what? 2 months?
Basically, like,
it's the World Cup games. Yeah. It's weather
for me. I think if the games were carried on for another couple of weeks, it would be a team of children playing Derby next week. But because there's one more game to play after that before the break, he probably goes stronger, because why not? You know what I mean? Like, these lads are not, there's a lot of these lads who aren't going to be playing any competitive football then for 6 weeks. So you kind of might as well anyway. Yeah.
For example, if Robbo starting against Southampton, then Costas probably plays against Derby. Yeah. Rather than saying to Luke Chambers, would have been if it was in the middle of a busy fixture.
Exactly. We kind of probably step on next week's podcast a touch here. But Spurs, my only kind of residing hope on this is that Marseille game looked nuts, and they've put a lot of energy into that.
And they've got injuries themselves.
And they've
big
got
players
themselves
out.
In Son in particular.
Bentancur, was it? It was Richarlison's a doubt, isn't he?
But just having to go through that, whereas we were at home, we played a good, and it was a good game of football. Kind of things came out quite bright off the end of it. The fact that they've got the big heroes pay off, and wow, what a moment to celebrate and stuff. But hopefully that's just something that plays into our hands a little bit, because you're right, that's the big one. Southampton, we'll deal with Southampton in a week's time. Spurs is the big one. If you can just put a marker down by beating them, you're playing for this. For the crisis club, panned in the crack. You know, there's
shine the light over there. Fucking hell, stop looking at us.
Bomberman, and you can pick up like that infection where you got the leather thing. And you can hand it off to another player by touching them. That's kind of what we're hoping to do with Spurs, I think, is like, here you go, these are a bit fucked and these are in a bit of shit, and everyone can kind of ignore Liverpool.
The difficulty with Spurs, as I see it, is they are the best of the worst sides, in that they are one of those sides that will continue to play counter-attacking. They haven't transitioned, and they've got no interest in transitioning to a possession-based side, but they're also the best at the counter-attacking stuff.
And it causes
us problems big time. So yeah, when you come up against Forest and Leeds, it's one thing to lose, but these are actually another level. So the injuries is massive for us.
Absolutely. Oppo preview with Flav from the Fighting Cock podcast, our good mate from the Ball Street days as well, is going to be up on Plus this week, so make sure you check that out. I'm on Saturday Social with him as well, which I'm really looking forward to. Loads more content to keep you guys occupied. If you are here live with us now and you're a subscriber to Redman Plus, then hop right on over there, because we're going to be an extra, and there'll be about a 10 minute or so gap. So if you want to sign up and get involved with that, then you can do in the gap. Scan the code on the screen or just head to redmanplus.com and sign up as well. For those of you who don't know, extra is less football, more us, more aggression, more swear words, and more stories that we can't share with the outside world, and more of us calling Matt Hancock words that we can't say on there on a public space.
Before we go, can we just clarify when the next round of the League Cup is, if we beat Derby?
One thing I actually can point out is that
I'd like you to clarify in 1920s American, if that's okay, Steve.
If you want to come and see us live, we are doing a live event. It's November the 13th, is that right?
Sunday, November the 13th, 4 till 8 p.m.
Exactly. Coyote Ugly in
Liverpool.
You didn't
fucking think I knew it, did you?
I'm shocked.
his face. Tickets. He nearly did the frigging Carragher Henry thing. That's a ball. Oh my God.
Tickets are only available to Redman Plus subscribers.
Free subscriber. If you're a subscriber.
Exactly. So if you sign up to redmanplus.com, you're entitled to 2 tickets to that live event. So if you want to come and join us pre-World Cup kickoff, then yeah, come and have a party and a bevy and a sing song with us and Dave Jackson and the Ragamuffins. It's going to be absolutely amazing. But yeah, head over there and we'll send you the details in your inbox as well. Gents, pleasure.
Super chat.
What's the super chat?
Super chat.
It must be good.
Jay says, guys, any idea why Darwin was standing next to Mo in Mo's UCL when he was like, man of the match picture? Apologies, we've spoken about it. No one knows. I don't think even Darwin knows, to be perfectly honest.
I genuinely think he lost his T-shirt.
Yeah, probably. Darwin, where's your T-shirt?
I don't know.
Oh, Darwin. Not a gate. He's probably given to that kid who had the Uruguayan flag out. I think he's a sucker for that. Tor, Lev Gold, sent us $4.99 as well. Thank you so much, Tor. Wonderful people, as are you all. Come and check out Podcast Extra. It's going to be good fun. See you there. Ta-da. If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.